When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Raw Reunion 2019. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Raj Geary and Matt Morgan to talk about the Monday Night Raw that just finished. Lots of old faces, lots of old stars, lots of shenanigans ensued. Matt Morgan, what did you think of this episode?
I mean, it's cool to see some of the old wrestlers, right, that you grew up watching, not really grew up watching, but, you know, some of the Attitude Era guys and things like that, but, you know, kind of a throwaway show.
Yeah. Raj?
Yeah, so on the positive side, I was never bored during the show, and, you know, that's one thing. Ever since they started that thing with the no wrestling during commercials and having these really long matches that don't mean anything, the show has moved a lot faster. So I thought the show moved pretty fast. I was never bored on the, but then there were a lot of negatives as far as none of the current stars looked like superstars. They didn't do anything to get new fans that are probably tuning in that haven't watched in forever that are watching tonight to see Stone Cold and Hulk Hogan. They didn't do anything to make them want to tune in next week, you know, do a big angle with the younger guys. And also, they didn't use any of the older guys to help use the younger guys, no. To help get the younger guys over. Like, just not everyone, but do one angle where, and I mentioned this last week on Ryback's podcast, where you could have the club take out DX violently. And they did a little angle with DX and the club, but instead it ended predictably with DX clearing the ring of the club. It makes the old guys look like the superstars. The young guys look like, they're underneath those guys.
they'll claim Sami Zayn they try to give a rub to is what they'll claim. I know how they think and how they write. And that, I guarantee you, in that writing room, that's what they thought tonight. Him losing the Rey Mysterio with RVD and them coming out to the ramp was him getting that rub. I know that's how they think. It's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, the one angle that they did was Bray Wyatt taking out Mick Foley. And I thought that was pretty cool. But
they should have taken out every single one of them.
Every. That should have been the end of the show. I was waiting for that. I was like, could you imagine if Undisputed Era came in there and just took out Stone Cold, those old timers in the ring? Something.
You know? Or at least Undisputed Era came out with the club and helped them take out, you know, DX and the NWO. Yeah.
It's frustrating. I mean, it was nice to see the old faces, but some of these segments were just lame. Young talent, for the most part, didn't end up looking better. But to your point, I think you're right, Matt. I think that they see it just by sharing the screen with these legends that is somehow going to rise their price of their stock.
Meanwhile, that was not the formula they used years ago during the Attitude Era. If Classy Freddie Blassie, Mae Young, Moolah, Hall of Famers, or Surefire Hall of Famers, they were getting their butts kicked even at age 90, 80, whatever ages they were. It didn't matter. They were equal opportunity legend ass kickers. Do you know what I mean? They killed everybody, no matter who they were supposed to be getting a rub by.
Or Randy Orton, you know, when he first started getting super over, they had him just crush these legends, you know, to get to the top.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's weird too. That's what makes me wonder how much of a hand Heyman had in tonight, because I would think he would understand the value of that and using this talent. And once upon a time, WWE even did. I mean, remember when the club retired the Dudley Boys? I mean, that was like 3 years ago when that happened, you know, like they knew how to pass the torch. Tonight we didn't see a lot of that. We opened up with John Cena coming live, Tampa, Florida, coming out there. Crowd really happy to see him. Interrupt with the Usos. This, I thought, was actually a very good start.
It was a good start.
Yeah, the Thugonomics callback. John Cena dropping things about their mugshots and arrests. Rikishi came in. Like, up until this point, I was like, I don't, like, this is weird, but I'm on board with it fully.
It was good. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I was hyped to see what came next. But then once the Revival came on, I think it was the time when the Dudley Boys music hit and it was just Devon that I was just like, okay, this is going to be weird.
Yeah, it's almost like you should have had the New Age Outlaws in that segment or someone else. When you have the Dudley
one Dudley come.
Right, because the whole point was it being a tag team segment. And then D-Von coming out, all you think of is the Dudleys not having Bubba there. They should have had another team.
Now, that's a fit, not a favor, but that's, you know, D-Von works backstage. He's already there. It's a little, you know, tip of the cap to him, I guess, if you will, sure. Right? But you're right, though. It wasn't within the proper context because – and they're thinking, they're like, oh, it's D-Von Dudley, 3D, duh. That's tag team. You don't need Bubba there. Everybody knows what this means. Okay, but it's still one dude. So, no, we don't know what it means.
Right. And Bubba was invited. He had turned it down.
Interesting.
Yeah. Him, Bret Hart, Jim Ross were the three that turned out invitations. Sid Vicious was supposed to be there tonight. He had been advertised, but you know, obviously wasn't on the show.
Well, hang on. Why did Bret Hart say no?
It's not known why he said no, but I could see it just being, you know, probably not having a significant role for him. So why do it?
SummerSlam in Toronto, less than a month away. You know, maybe yeah. Make the extra trip. I don't know. I bet you he shows up at SummerSlam in some capacity, maybe even if just the pre-show.
I think it's a waste of his. You know, again, you look at someone What's like he him.
Do? He's not a talker. What are you going to do with him?
Right. I mean, the way, he, you know, when he was at Double or Nothing presenting the championship, that was a great role for him because it adds prestige to the title. It makes it seem like a big deal with Bret Hart doing it. But
it does. But he is still awkward as F when he talks. He's not a promo guy. He never was. Right. I'm not saying that the crap on Bret Hart. It's Bret Hart we're talking about. But it's not the same thing as you give Ric Flair a microphone, or you give Jerry Lawler a microphone, or you give Stone Cold a microphone, or Hogan even to a degree, the microphone. It's different. Bret Hart stumbles through his promos.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure WWE, because of that, probably wasn't going to give him much, and Bret probably didn't feel it was worth the appearance because of that.
It's like his biggest strength was wrestling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got the Revival versus the Usos tonight. We've seen these guys go at it in recent weeks quite a bit. Tonight they did it with D-Von there and Rikishi ringside. Usos ended up picking up the win in this non-title match with the Usos and Rikishi celebrating in the ring. D-Von
that was cool.
The Revival. Yeah.
That was cool. Rikishi and his kids. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, all made sense. Cena kicking off the show was cool. He and him going away, not beating up anybody, not beating up any of the younger stars. So I thought this was a fine opening segment. Again, we've seen the Usos and the Revival a lot over the past couple of months. So it would have been nice if this match, you know, had some sort of, you know, like if the Usos win, they get a title shot or something like that.
Yeah. Then we went backstage, Alicia Fox and Caitlin backstage with Dana Brooke. Tori Wilson was there. Santino Marella was there. Drew McIntyre interacted with them. Just said legends, ? Walked off. Then we had 24/7 action. We saw what happened at SDCC at San Diego Comic-Con with R-Truth, Drake Maverick, and Carmella. And then went right into a match with Drew McIntyre versus Cedric Alexander. So... this didn't get an official ending and ended, I believe, just in a stare down. But Drew ended up, beating up Cedric a bit, giving him an apron bump. And then they went to commercial. So that's continuing. Do you think this is a good feud for Drew, Matt?
Cedric Alexander?
Yeah. I have to ask. People like Cedric. People like Drew. This is not a situation where it's just two great things that go great together.
I like Cedric Alexander, though, a lot. I like his look and I like his work. He's got some good charisma, too. I just think he needs a different opponent that he needs to be going over on, like a two-month storyline with not Drew McIntyre, somebody else, that he can go over on at the end of those 2 months, and it elevates him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cedric isn't at the point yet where him against Drew looks believable. And, you know, you can get there. I mean, AJ versus Drew looks believable, and AJ's not a big guy. It's just, you know, getting that credibility and then being put in that situation. Otherwise, you look like an enhancement talent that got lucky.
Well, and that's the story, right, Matt? With their size disparity, it either needs to be that the story is that Cedric ultimately wins this feud and stands tall, or that Drew demolishes him. But this idea, like, well, they have some competitive matches, and 1 week one guy wins, next week the other guy wins. That doesn't do either of them any favors.
It doesn't. No, you're right.
Yeah.
One thing, did you guys notice they had the Raw split-screen commercial which they've been doing for SmackDown for a while, but they haven't done on Raw. So now they can probably stop doing as many 2 out of 3 falls matches or the resets. You know, I'm guessing they only get a set amount that they could use per show, but this was the first time I've seen it on Raw.
Drake Maverick got surprised backstage by the Boogeyman. He was terrified. Pat Patterson appeared, pinned Drake for the title with his foot on his chest. Pat Patterson became, for a brief time, the 24/7 champ tonight.
Why not? Why shouldn't he?
Probably the only guy to hold the 24/7 and the hardcore championship, I think.
So far.
So far.
What do you mean? An intercontinental.
Right. I mean, because the 24/7, the hardcore are so similar. But yeah, Intercontinental, Pat Patterson, so that match where he won the Intercontinental title actually never took place in Rio de Janeiro. So that's kind of what the announcers were referring to when they brought that up.
Yeah.
After that, we had the Viking Raiders in a pretty short match against Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. So, did this put the Viking Raiders over if you're a lapsed fan, Matt, tuning in tonight?
I don't know how to answer that, right? Because they did convincingly destroy the former tag champions, did they not?
Yeah.
I mean, so if I'm like, if this is a scoring thing, right, and we're looking at a piece of paper and we're saying, like, hey, these were the former champions who just got waxed, blown out of the building by another team, I'd be like, wow, that other team must be pretty damn good if this was any other sport. But because it's wrestling, especially WWE, those former champions were meaningless as champions. So I don't know. At least it's a win for them, though.
Sure. But by comparison, Ricochet tonight, I believe his only appearance was in that Burger King commercial talking about how awesome Ricochet was.
Fine. That's the definition of don't get any of this crap on you. This whole episode tonight with what were they going to do? Have him do a sing along with Jimmy Hart? What the hell were they going to do with him? You know what I mean?
Because okay, Ricochet is someone.
Yes, I'll pay for a match. I'd love to watch a match with him. Fine. But not one in which he's not going to win. Yeah. And two, I don't want any backstage segments with him and what potentially they could have had for him. Okay. He could have been eating worms. Okay. I'm good with him not having any on him here.
Okay. So by that argument, you don't think Mike Kanellis backstage getting, emasculated by Maria and then the dam from Ron Simmons, like that didn't put Mike more over in your mind?
No, but I did for one time. Mike Kanellis drew me to 205 Live. I was clicking through YouTube, wrestling, was watching old Monday Nitros. I literally was watching LWO. That's how bored I was. I was watching old LWO clips. They just kept coming up, and I kept watching more and more. Anyways, somehow it came to the advertisement for 205 Live with Mike Kanellis. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to watch this. It's him and Drake Maverick. They're about to get into it. And I watched it. I was actually really entertained by that.
Yeah.
And then this. So I don't know. He's good. His promos are actually pretty good, too. I thought the promo he got on Drake on 205 Live was pretty damn good, actually, and pretty funny because he's the most emasculated man on the planet, and he's telling Drake he's the most, he's a win.
Yeah, it's almost like they're two of the biggest jokes on Raw, and then they had a killer angle on 205 Live last week that makes you want to see their match because that is leading to a Drake Maverick, Mike Kanellis match.
So. I do want to see that, actually.
Yeah, same here. I thought that segment was fantastic. I agree with you on last week.
So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, Dad Ron, if you're going to have somebody emasculate you, it does deserve the exclamation mark. Damn, though.
And Eric Bischoff, he showed up here. Eric Bischoff, who started this week, and he did mention kind of saying that he would like to have Mike Kanellis on SmackDown. So it gives kind of almost says like someone sees potential in him and he might be being wasted right now. So
that could be good.
I agree. The club are now called the OC. AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, and Luke Gallows really putting this over tonight, talking about the original club, the only club that matters, the OC.
Oh my God. The club, though, like, how could they have started with that? Can we rewind back when they came? Did we attack this? Like, what the hell were they thinking? Like, I get they can't be Bullet Club, fine, whatever, but the club? Like me and my 7-year-old friends in my home hideout treehouse in my backyard had a much cooler name. our
hold on, time out. Matt, what was the name of your friends, your treehouse class?
Eastern Turnpike Terrors. What?
Ooh, I like it.
Sorry, Raj. Had to know.
Oh, no.
And then as we grew up, it became Terror Squad.
Much better than the OC.
Yeah, no, the club, the problem with the club was it sounded like they're ripping off the Bullet Club, but couldn't come up with anything more creative to just add to Bullet. So they just said the John club, Eric. And it sounded lame. Right? Yeah.
It's be called The Wrestler.
Or The World Order. So, yeah, no,
it's average World Order.
Instead, so they go with the old World Order, but yeah, man, OC, it's. I don't know who's coming up with these.
You can make gang signs and stuff, though, I can imagine. But...
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, on Twitter, it caught fire because of...
That'll come.
Because the OC being the name of a very popular show on the CW for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
In the early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So, you know, look for the new faction, One Tree Hill, followed by Seventh Heaven. Just get them all in there. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. Yeah.
We like them together. Absolutely. That's all we know. Yeah.
Although we'll talk about what happened. I don't think it did them any favors, the segment they were in tonight. But first, I want to take a quick moment to thank the sponsor of this episode, which is Wix, W-I-X. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. Wix makes it so, so, so simple. Such a joy. Raj, I've been relearning WordPress for a project I'm working on, and oh, man. I'd forgotten, even with most CMS systems that are out there, even with most supposedly easy to build website tools, God forbid you're hand coding. It is so difficult, so complicated. And Raj, how much time do you spend each year just trying to stay on the cutting edge of what's going on with the web?
Oh, it's exhausting.
HTML developments.
That's the majority of my week. So it's if there are nights where there are segments of Raw where I can't seem to remember, chances are I'm handling some tech issue on the website.
Oh, God. And new devices all the time coming out, trying to make sure your website looks good on your phone, looks good on your desktop, looks good on your tablet, looks good on your TV. It can be difficult. Wix makes it easy. And that's why over 140 million people use Wix for their website. And you could start and publish for free. Choose from over 500 stunning templates or start from scratch. And they let you change, customize, and add anything you want. Your own text, images, videos, and more. They have hundreds of design features and apps to grow your brand online. And best of all sites include those built-in SEO, search engine optimization tools, to make sure that your website is found by people that are looking for it, by people that you want to reach. Those SEO tools make it so, so easy. And best of all, everything is automatically optimized for any device. I've spent years of my life trying to get things to look right on a phone and a desktop. Cumulatively, years. Wix makes it so, so easy. They give you the tools you need to create the website you want. And if you have a business, millions of businesses use Wix. You can instantly connect with your customers, manage all your interactions in one place, use their advanced business features to boost your productivity, manage your workflow, meet your deadlines, build customer relationships, set up multiple payment options, start an online store, start a mailing list. Wix makes it simple, and we've got a deal for you. You can get started now by going to wix.com. That's wix.com/podcast. You're going to get 10% off on a paid plan. That's wix.com/podcast. wix.com/podcast. 10% off. We thank Wix for sponsoring the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Yeah, and we've been using Wix, my wife, I've mentioned many times, since before they were even a sponsor. So, and we've been using them for years and are extremely happy with them. So.
Absolutely, where it's at with Wix. We saw backstage Gerald Briscoe had the 24/7 title. He just pinned Pat Patterson, and then Kelly came up. She charmed him with her feminine wiles and then took the title off of him with a referee nearby, becoming the first woman to hold the 24/7 title.
Yeah, Gerald Briscoe. So he would be the second person to win the hardcore and the 24/7 title.
Yeah.
We're keeping track. Real quick, did you guys notice Alicia Fox was kind of like treated as one of the legends?
Yes, that made no sense to me.
She's been there long enough.
Well, she hasn't been on TV since April. So I think she's from Tampa too. What's that?
She's from there too.
And I wonder if this also means like she's no longer considered a full-time main roster wrestler. She is still on the roster page, but so are Brie Bella and Nikki Bella. But that's what it almost felt like to me, like transitioning her to that legends role as opposed to a current member of the roster.
She's definitely not a legend, though.
A lot of the people on the show aren't really legends.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Who can forget her classic matches with Melina? Cameron's favorite match of all time, Melina versus Alicia Fox. Right.
Alicia Fox had some good matches, though.
She did. She's just not a Hall of Famer or a legend. That's why.
Yeah.
Best Northern Lights suplex.
Nor is Melina, nor is Candice.
Well, they were there during that awkward time where
when I was there.
Yeah.
I came up with Melina. Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a different era than it is now, especially as far as the women are concerned. After Kelly picked up the title, Samoa Joe came out and said what a lot of people were thinking, that the Raw reunion special, these shows are a plague to WWE. Went on and on, talked about just the silliness of it, waste of time. This is taking time away from him practicing his art of violence in the ring. And of course, he was interrupted by Roman Reigns, who took it personal because he was talking about Rikishi and the Usos. So Samoan versus Samoan tonight. These guys faced off, leading to a match where they went one-on-one, and Roman Reigns picked up the win.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
And of course Samoa Joe lost.
I mean, that's why.
It's a shame. I mean, how they booked Joe over the years, because he does, in with his promos and his character, he gives that vibe of being a true legit badass. Like, he could really hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. And then week in, week out, anytime he starts to get some credibility, they start burying him.
Yep. It's ridiculous.
I mean, there was a time when he was – I mean, how many guys on the current roster do you think could be presented as a legitimate threat to Brock Lesnar?
Forget Brock Lesnar. Just in general, how many people do you think could walk into a bar on that roster and scare or intimidate or make nervous even? I'd say 75% of a bar, the guys sitting at the bar, right, they're feeling like Johnny Tough guys, right? Joe will put the fear of God in them. Yeah. He's as legit gets as far as believability is what you're saying. Well, the rest of them? No. What are they going to say? I do a really cool Hurricane Rana. Hey, I do a really cool triple backflip. The 5'9" guy says, like, no.
Yeah, and my point with Lesnar is he's only one of two guys, I feel like, that has been able to do that. You know, him and Braun. Yeah.
Well, so apparently USA is replaying Raw right now.
Of course they are. They said Stone Cold Steve Austin on.
And they're replaying it tomorrow, too, before SmackDown.
Wow.
I don't blame them. Stone Cold's going to get them.
Yeah, going to do that old podcast one trick and just add up all the viewings and be like, see how high our ratings are? If you add them all together, this was the highest rated Raw ever. We just need to keep showing it until enough people watch it.
I bet you even if they did that, it still wouldn't be.
Yeah, probably not. Roman Reigns got the spear on Joe for the pin and the win. And then we had Miz TV with Seth Rollins tonight. Seth doing a pretty good Paul Heyman impression.
What? You thought that was pretty good?
I mean, it was just, he committed to it. He was doing like the Nixon lip blubbering and shaking his head.
Oh, the crowd just groaned when he did that.
He had something in this promo, though. At the very end, there's something with his closeout line. There's something there. He's got to work on it. In my opinion, it wasn't there tonight, but the verbiage is correct. He's just got a—I don't know what it is, but there's something there. I kind of thought was, oh, there's a spark there at least.
I just thought him saying that when he started saying how Lesnar is a Seth Rollins wannabe, like, just no one bought that. No one bought that Lesnar's trying to be a Rollins wannabe. I'm like, this is the promo you give your top guy, who you've been pushing as your top guy this year, on the same show that you have Steve Austin. You know, who you know is just going to cut a killer promo without telling him one thing to say. You know, he's going to, kill it. I don't know. I thought this was a bad night for Seth.
Yeah. I mean, competitively speaking, like, that's exactly how I would have looked at it. I would have, like, called up. So Hogan's going to be talking tonight. Flair might be talking tonight. Stone Cold might be talking tonight. I've got to cut the biggest world beater promo I've ever cut in my whole life, because I want to see how I stack up. Like, that's how you got to carry yourself.
Yeah.
So Heyman came.
Sorry, go ahead. So
Heyman came out, interrupted him, hyped up their match at SummerSlam. Rollins is going to lose, yada, yada, yada. We've heard this all before. Rollins said, it's time to ignite the fire and burn it down. And then he walked off.
I'm telling you, there's something there. I might be wrong, but I thought there was a little spark in that verbiage. He might not have accented it properly or whatnot, because he probably felt corny after the promo he had to cut previous to that promo, right? To get there. But I don't know.
Sami Zayn came out and said he's not happy with the Legends getting TV time. And in perhaps the line of the night, he said this tonight was like the Attitude Era on FaceApp.
That was good. That was good. But I mean, if I was wearing any one of those, Kishi, any one of them in the background, it must have been so hard to not grab that mic and go, dude, you look like somebody who should be stocking a stock room somewhere right now. What are you wearing? Why are you dressed like you're in the refrigerator, you know, in the back of a grocery store? What are you wearing, dude? You're in Tampa, Florida. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That is a good point. But I did think Sammy cut the best promo of the young guys on this whole show.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Because he's probably, you got to give him credit. He probably is the best promo, one of them.
It's Sammy, Owens, and Daniel Bryan, in my opinion, and Joe when he's allowed to.
And who?
Samoa Joe.
Yeah, for believability factor. Yep. Yeah.
So Rey Mysterio took issue with what Sammy was saying. Kurt Angle appeared.
Hey, man. I'm just going to give the fans what they want to hear. Hey, man, don't make fun of these. These are legends. Show respect. They paved the way. Would you say, midget? I'm going to pave a road right through you. How about that? And then they're about to get in beef. Kurt Angle comes in. Why wouldn't he? And he used to be a general manager of the show. And he says, we used to be on Raw. I used to be the Raw general manager. We used to make matches. We used to settle in the ring. So tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to settle in the ring, even though I'm not the general manager of tonight's show. And so be it. It happened. There was a match that after commercial break between Sami Zayn and Rey Mysterio.
So for people that didn't watch Raw tonight, Matt Morgan's reenactment of Raw is better than the actual show.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that sounded pretty damn entertaining.
Yeah, like I was captivated. Hey, man,
don't make fun of these legends.
And then he brought out, it was the most random group of legends he brought out. It was Kurt Angle, Sergeant Slaughter, Rob Van Dam, and the Hurricane.
Okay, it's poor Sarge. He's my first wrestler I ever met as a kid, by the way. Sat on his lap when I was like 7 years old. I have a photo of that still. Anyways, nonetheless, he's the one who threw that off. If it was the other three, they kind of fit, right? The same era?
Yeah.
And then just Sarge was like number two. Like you could hear the crowd. The crowd's pretty pumped to see RVD, and then poor Sarge's music, and they're like, who's this?
Yeah, right. It was a little rough. Before that match started, though, we got Kelly Kelly backstage with the 24/7 championship, Candice Michelle, Naomi and Melina, and Alundra Blaze. Candice need Kelly, pinned her for the title, because Melina now is a referee, apparently. And then Alundra Blaze appeared, choked out Candice, took the title from her, and then, oh, God. Like foreshadowed the joke that everyone I think knew was coming, saying she was going to be 24/7 champion, and they better do something about it quick because she wouldn't be champion for long. She walked off, and then we got Rey Mysterio versus Sami Zayn with Jonathan Coachman on commentary. I get tonight they wanted to include people. That's why Christian did one of the earlier matches. It makes sense, but I don't think you know he necessarily added anything. Sammy,
hang on. Coach had a good line coming out though to shut Cole's butt up, didn't he? Did you hear that?
No, which one?
He's like, and Cole's like, oh, we're interrupted by Jonathan Coachman. And he's like, yeah, the guy who went out there and made a name for himself and came back just to get interrupted. So I know the feeling. Meaning he didn't get opportunities to talk, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Sammy got, how did this end? Sammy walked out of the ring and then went back in. But yeah, he faced off with the legends that were there. Helms, Angle, Slaughter, and RVD. Rey hit him with the 619 and then paid tribute to RVD by hitting Sammy with the 5-star frog splash for the pin and the win. I could see where Rey would lure some people back in, just lapsed fans that would see that Rey is still wrestling. I could see where that would bring some people back.
I don't know if I don't like Sami Zayn losing.
I don't either. But Rey, though, does have a strong fan.
But you think a person who used to watch wrestling would be like, oh, Rey's still wrestling? I'm going to sit through a 3-hour show every week just to see Rey wrestle again.
Guys, you have no clue how many Labs fans I talk to about AEW. And when they hear that Chris Jericho is one of the top guys, that makes them interested.
You compare him to Rey Mysterio?
Not. Does,
yeah, well, Rey, well yeah, I'm saying. Kind of. Well, to your point, it's like what Rey did. Did he do something that the people tuning in would be like, oh, wow, I need to tune in next week? It was just Rey winning a match. You know, with Jericho, they did this hot angle, you know?
Yeah.
in New Japan that he did with Omega, and in AEW, I thought it was a big fail on the last pay-per-view or their last show at Fight for the Fallen that they didn't elevate Paige more to Jericho's level, because I thought Fight for the Fallen kind of had the same effect. They didn't raise Paige, who needed it the most going into his match with Jericho. But anyway, that's going back to that.
I don't know about you guys. So I live in an area, and I grew up and went to school with, a big portion of Latino kids, or Latinx is the correct term. And to them, Rey is at the highest level, especially because he was portrayed so seriously and like a superstar, like a superhero in WCW, WWE. So no, I think for a portion of the fan base, he does have a huge draw that pulls people in, and Jericho pulls other people.
Yeah, but do an angle with him then. Have Andrade come in, sneak attack him, beat the crap out of him, and say he's going to retire him at SummerSlam. You set up a retirement. You know, do something where you're hooking in these fans to want to continue watching next week.
Yeah.
I mean, just listen to the reaction. That's what I do. I listen to the music, and I listen to the fans. Rey does not get the reaction he normally used to get.
Yeah. And part of it is how they treat him. Like, he was
definitely
squashed by Lashley just a couple of weeks ago when he came back. He came back, issued an open challenge, and just gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, I agree. From day one, they booked him wrong when coming back. Yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird, though? Like, I mean, just thinking about this for a second with the legends, it's like with some of them, if you don't come back to full-time duty, you get to come in, do these appearances, and be the superstar. But if you want to come back and really grind it out there.
Which I don't get. Yeah, I don't know why. They got Rey for like a year. Like, he's older. Like, guys, use him while you can. Get the most out of him while you can. Still book him as a top guy, or towards the top guy at least.
Yeah, have a plan. You know, earlier this year, it looked like they were going somewhere with him and Andrade, and then it just faded away.
But he doesn't have to do that. Rey Mysterio is loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, he got paid, Rey Mysterio. You know what I mean? He has a lot of outside interests as well in investments. He's a very smart man with his money. And he doesn't need to come back. He come back and wanted to wrestle again, you know, and see if he could push his body into doing it. And he looks, for where he's at, he looks amazing. And he wants to do it. He wants to hit that everyday grind, every week grind. You reward that. He doesn't need to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on the indies, he was making a lot of money per appearance.
And he's making a lot of money in WWE, but why not use him then? I mean, use him, you know, you could have a crazy feud with him and Ricochet, a babyface versus babyface. You know, that generation, Ricochet idolizes Mysterio, almost like they did with Jericho and Shawn Michaels. Something along those lines. With those
that
guys.
Would be cool with Ricochet. The thing is, guys, when he left WWE the first time, he was good.
Yeah.
He was set for life. He never needed to work again. He needed to work in these.
Yeah. Ric Flair showed up backstage in a limousine. We saw the Street Profits backstage. Angelo Dawkins talking about he was hanging out with RVD and then putting in eye drops after.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that. We saw the Godfather backstage. And then Alundra Blaze, WWE 24/7 champion, Alundra Blaze, came out to the announce table, grabbed a trash can, but before she could put the 24/7 title in it, Ted DiBiase came out, offered to buy it off of her because everyone has a price, pulled out a bunch of very fake looking money, traded it with her, and then he walked off with the championship.
You know, and Matt, you were talking about, I forgot what moment you talked about earlier when you were saying from your childhood that, but from my childhood, one of the things I remember the most, one of the most memorable angles was Ted DiBiase buying the WWE championship from Andre the Giant after he beat Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And I just thought all these guys' appearances tonight just made them look like less of a star than I remember them. I remember them being these larger than life stars. And the more and more I'm seeing them on these shows, it just marginalizes them.
It does. It warps their whatever the word is. They're, I don't know what the word is, but it's like Dr. J. I always heard my dad say that. Like, Dr. J needs to retire. I remember him always saying that. I never understood why. And he always thought he played well past his prime, and you had to see the declining years of Dr. J, and it was sad. Same thing. When you see your legends that you grew up watching, idolize them, you got to see them like 20 years later. You're like, that's not what I remember. I don't want to see. I want my memories of what I remember from my legends of wrestling back when I was a little kid. I don't want that tainted.
Yeah. And yeah, that's how I felt with DiBiase here. I mean, there was that moment when I was a kid that that will forever be etched in my mind. And then seeing him here, and then when he's walking off, he's like, just get me the hell out of here as quickly as possible. He said his lines and left. And yeah.
It's tough. I mean, this segment was tough to watch. This is one. I would have been embarrassed if anyone else had been in the room. Even if a wrestling fan had been in the room and caught me watching that segment, I would have been embarrassed to be watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see it on paper seeming like a good idea because you have these, you know, Alundra Blaze putting the belt in the trash is kind of an iconic moment from WCW. Yeah. And then DiBiase buying the title, another iconic moment. But in execution, it did not work.
If you listen, the crowd did react to her. Mm-hmm. Without them being cued in as to what she was doing or what this, you know, the symbolicness of this meant, the symbolism of this meant, I thought they reacted really much louder than I expected them to when she grabbed it and put it over it. You know what I mean?
And most of these people haven't been around in, you know, decades on TV. So they're rusty as hell. I'm sure if they had just a little bit of practice, because Alundra Blaze, Medusa, is a great personality. If she just had time to like work on her character, you know, just get back into it would be one thing. But coming out cold, DiBiase too, obviously he was a great, super great promo back in the day. But
I thought his laugh was spot on. That's all I ever cared about.
Yeah.
Was his menacing laugh at the end. He always wanted to see him get punched in the mouth for it.
Yeah, but he had that, just that cocky delivery, and you know, I mean, he was great, but yeah.
Okay, so here we go to what I think. To me, this was the most controversial segment of the night with all of that, which was AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. AJ coming out with the club, Seth coming out flanked by DX, HBK and Triple H. And yeah, wouldn't you know it, before long, we also had Road Dogg come out there. We had Hall and Nash. We had X-Pac joining them. And then I mean, there was very little wrestling that happened before this turned into a face-off with DX just burying the club and them just walking off, even with AJ talking shit, right? Like, oh, I know where NXT is. I'm going to find you, all that stuff. I mean, this was lame, right? To have the club be rebranded the OC. They said it a million times on commentary tonight. We got the new logo, the new merchandise. They came out to this match, and then the old guys just made them look like schlubs.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I said it earlier. It would have been way more effective. You don't want the legends getting their ass kicked in every segment. But this one segment, if you had DX get beaten down hard by the club, it would have been super effective. It would have gotten the club over, and you would have remembered it. Being said, I thought AJ with Sean, I felt like AJ did the best he could there, like as far as not looking like a wuss walking off and, you know, telling Sean he knows where NXT is and he'll come after him. So,
yeah, here's the thing that this way it should have gone. You're wrong. They should have whipped the living hell. Every heel on that show should have beat the brakes off of every single legend that came out and had anything to do with any of their segments, backstage, in the ring, in the bathroom, parking lot, I don't care where the hell it was. Every legend should have gotten waxed by every heel in that company to only to have a baby face that, like Rey Mysterio did earlier, take up for those legends. And now you have the match between two younger, fresher talents, and you do something. That's using these guys as a rub. You get color on DX, for example, or something like that. Can they do that now because they're supposedly going back to not being PG?
No, they can't. But still, you could still have a violent beatdown. And then, yeah, to your point, you have Ricochet and maybe a couple other guys run down and make the save.
But like, even in other segments, too. I don't know.
Yeah. I just think it loses its effectiveness when you do it too many times. But
no, they're legends. That's why you have them there. They're legends. That is what makes a difference. It's not the same thing. Million Dollar Man getting his ass kicked. It's not the same thing as Sergeant Slaughter getting his ass kicked. Or, you know, Stone Cold getting his ass kicked, or Hogan getting his ass kicked, or Ric Flair getting his ass kicked. It's like, wow, they weren't lying when they told us this is the best wrestling roster WWE's ever had. They weren't playing. Look at this. They just whipped the Attitude's ass.
Yeah. No, I definitely thought they should have done it. Yeah. I mean, I hear your point. At least, I mean,
Hogan.
They did it with Foley. But
Foley, because Foley gets it. I guarantee you he fought for that. I guarantee there's something to that effect. He's such a good – he gets it. Mick, Hogan, Flair, Stone Cold. I said Flair already.
DX.
NWO, DX, every one of them should have gotten, they should have gotten their asses handed to them by somebody on this show. My opinion. You want to get over everyone keep asking about the Attitude Era? Here was your chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a wasted opportunity for sure.
I don't know why they have the reverence for these guys.
I don't get it either. They're not coming back.
No. Although DX has been
reverence, yes, because these guys were, mega superstars.
No. But now they're booking. And maybe this is where Triple H, maybe this is the difference with Triple H being involved in creative. He's not going to book him and all his buddies to be buried at the hands of younger talent. I don't think he can let go of that ego.
He had nothing to do with tonight's show.
You don't think he has any input whatsoever in a DX segment?
I think he would have made Hogan do it. I think he would have made the others do it that he wasn't as friendly with over the years.
Yeah, maybe.
If you're pointing fingers at him that way, I'm saying, if he's that small of a guy, which I don't think he is.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, is Vince that has the reference for these guys?
Yep.
We've seen so much of DX this year. DX, all those guys should just be on the active roster. We've seen them so much.
Here's the thing. They work there as well, remember.
I know. Maybe that's part of it. But then even more so, Matt, to your point, because they work there, they should be even more wanting
fighting
to sacrifice.
For it. Maybe they are. Maybe X-Pac is saying, what are we doing? Why are we not getting our asses kicked? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Waltman doesn't work there. But
he worked for NXT. I thought he comes
in. No, he's been doing stuff at the Performance Center.
Yeah, but he doesn't have an official title. Like Road Dogg does, Hurricane, D-Von.
Shawn Michaels,
yep.
Yeah. If Billy Gunn had been there, they probably would have let him get his ass kicked, on principle.
Yeah, I got to say this with DX too. I'm just sick of the DX reunions. They do it every time. We've seen it. It feels like we've seen it 1,000 times now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler, I will say this. I thought Jerry Lawler was good on commentary. It was clear he has no idea what's going on as far as the product goes, but he's still way more entertaining than the guys they have on commentary now.
He did seem mentally present, but yeah, not.
Jerry Lawler is one of the best promos of all time. You know that, right?
He's been tonight?
Top 10 promo in the business. If you ask any like old school wrestler, they make you do a report and things like that. At least when we used to work at OVW, make you do a report and things like that on all the top 100 wrestlers. Tom Pritchard made us do that, and everybody and their mother would tell you to watch Jerry Lawler promos. Not just Stone Cold, not just Hogan, not just the guys that I coming in didn't know any better, thought were just automatically the best promos.
Oh, he's definitely a legend. I just think when he comes back, but it shows he's not as, you know, like how JR, at the start of AEW, you could tell with JR really was doing his homework to figure out what was going on. Like Waller doesn't invest as much because he's doing these one-offs, so he's not going to know.
Yeah.
Well, I think, but he can just wing it and
yeah.
He's still more entertaining than most of commentators that are out there.
Yep.
Yeah. Ted DiBiase got attacked in his limo. Drake Maverick won the championship back. And then he got chased. And then we got Mick Foley out in the ring talking about SummerSlam, talking about the 24/7 title as the chase came through. And then, Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, came in, beat the crap out of Mick, did the mandible claw to him. And Raw went to commercial with Wyatt laughing.
That was good. Great stuff. Loved it.
Yep.
I stand tall, I mean.
I think this was the first time in years that they used a legend to get a young talent over.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moment of bliss. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross out with Becky Lynch talking about SummerSlam. Natalya came out. They got into it a bit. I liked Becky bringing up that Natalya trained Ronda Rousey for her fight against Becky at Mania.
Yeah,
I thought that was
me too.
It's good. I mean, they're trying with this, right? They're really trying to build a story here. Where there was 2 weeks ago, we would have said there's no story to be told between Natalya and Becky.
Right. Yeah, they're trying. I'll agree.
Yeah.
They were really hyping this toast that happened at the end of the night with Flair, Austin, Hogan, and Michaels. But first, we got Drake Maverick, who then R-Truth attacked him in the limo, drove off with the 24/7 title, and Drake Maverick's wife, Renee. Carmella was left with Drake. Then we got Braun Strowman versus Randy Rowe, a local enhancement talent. And it was back to the old Braun, just tossing jobbers around the ring.
I don't know about this. Did they have extra time?
I don't see it.
Was this advertised earlier?
No.
Yeah, this felt like the show had, went quicker than they expected, and they needed to fill time, which I'm surprised they didn't let Hogan and Flair talk more, knowing that, versus just letting Braun go out there and destroy somebody. That's very weird to put that squash match as your last in-ring action.
The only thing I could think of is they thought there might be new fans tuning in that normally don't watch the product who might not be familiar with Strowman, and they wanted to show this big impressive specimen on this show and just a showcase. That's the only thing I could think. Otherwise, it was completely random to have this on there.
That's what I say. You got to be ready. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure we'll hear it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think to that point, it was good for that. I mean, Braun is definitely someone I think that could have an intrigue factor with lapsed fans tuning in tonight. Braun stood tall at that match after tossing Randy Rowe around the ring a couple times. And then...
Hang on. Here's another reason why that's not true. Okay, because they would have had AJ and what's his name close that out. There's no way they would have. I'm telling you. They would rather have eyeballs be on Seth Rollins any day of the week than Braun Strowman. And getting the rub from the older guys. There's not even a question about that. We already know that. It should be Braun, but we know better. I'm telling you, they ran out of time, and I'll bet you we find that out.
Well, they had Alexa before this and after AJ.
It wasn't an in-ring match. What are you talking about? I'm talking about in-ring action. I guarantee you we're going to hear this as to why that match was there. That was very, very awkwardly placed.
I don't think they would have brought that job guy in for no reason.
There's a whole locker room full of
talking about. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure this is part of the show.
Somebody send us a run sheet.
Here's the part where I tell you I worked there. You didn't. I'm right. You're wrong.
All right, we'll see.
And Matt Morgan only plays that card like once a year on this podcast.
Never. No, I've never said those words. This is my first time I've ever said those words.
Okay. I've seen many a Raw script over the last decade, and I don't can't see a
match close out an anniversary show versus the it guy, aka either Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins, when most eyeballs are going to be on that TV set for the first time, drawing old viewers in. Braun Strowman is on the top of their list of guys that they want to have those fans see. You know I'm right.
I have not heard one time in the last 10 years where they've added a match for time, as opposed to they've cut many, many, many times, but adding one that
when you have a show full of old people, you're not going to win this argument, Raj. So get
all right. We'll get a writer on tomorrow and see.
Okay. Guarantee you that's what this is going to be.
All right.
And it has happened. What are you talking about?
When? Name one time.
There have been stories. Name one time it hasn't. How do you know? What are you writing the damn show?
We used to get scripts all the time for the shows. But yeah, never has there been a time recall.
How about this one, smart guy? You tell me in the last time a squash match was the main event of the show of this magnitude that's an anniversary show, Raj.
I mean, there's been three anniversary shows, and the main event is the segment. There have been lots of times when the last match is something that's not main event quality when you have a big segment closing off the show.
I'm just telling you. Very awkwardly placed. Didn't make sense to throw it in there. And if your reasoning and your rationale was to have all these Attitude Era viewers that, by the way, weren't watching the show, I'll predict that as well. Okay, but their hopes that they were watching this show is not to get eyeballs on Braun Strowman, is to get eyeballs on Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns. It would have been the AJ Styles DX segment.
That was that even in the third hour? I think that was the end of the second.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No,
anyway, all right, let's move on. This is going to be the highest rated Raw probably since Raw 25. So, yes, there are a lot of Attitude Era fans that will be tuning into this.
No, it's our own fans, like my wife watching the show, and we'll see. It's definitely going to get a good number. There's no question. To sit there, how are you going to be able to determine, those are Attitude Era viewers that came back to watch. How are you going to determine that?
Because there aren't enough viewers today to make up that gap of what this is probably going to do.
We don't watch it. If I didn't do this show, I'm not watching. I'm still a huge wrestling fan. They just don't do enough to make me watch the show.
It's true. In terms of nostalgia, I think I could have spent 3 hours doing something else tonight and been more satisfied.
Guys my age in the gym, same thing. They were going to tune in tonight because, Stone Cold's on for sure. And they would watch wrestling today if it was entertaining to what, I don't know.
No, I was telling Raj Sethia when I got my haircut today, the girls that were talking about Raw Reunion tonight. And the one where her name was like, oh, I'm going to have to tune in. It's going to have Stone Cold. Like, people hear those names, they tune in for that.
They probably know Stone Cold from the Attitude Era.
But, you know, do you think part of it, though, is the idea that if you were a kid and you knew it was there, even if you weren't watching at the time, like, the legend of it, you feel like it's something you grew up with, even if you weren't materially participating at the time?
Like, what do you mean? Like, you were too young when, like, Stone Cold was around?
Kind of. Well, think about it, like, music-wise, you know? I mean, don't you ever feel like music that you know you're a fan of that you've always liked and you maybe have a memory of it, but, like, everyone loved Thriller when we were kids, but you weren't, like, the most hardcore Michael Jackson fan who knew all about the Jackson 5, Off the Wall, all the deep album cuts. You didn't know about that when Thriller was at the top of the charts, but now you look back on it and you feel like Michael Jackson music has always been a part of your life. You know?
Man, I was using Michael Jackson marks on the wrong one to ask.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some kind of, sometimes you like absorb, you feel like it's part of your era, part of your childhood, you know, you rep it, you're interested in it, even if it wasn't something you were actively watching at the time. But the final segment tonight, we had Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. They both said some words. Austin came out into the ring.
How much did Flair talk?
I don't think he said anything on this whole show.
And that's what I was saying earlier. I was like, if they had extra time, why wouldn't they let Flair talk? I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, go
ahead. Austin was out there telling just kind of basic promo, getting a lot of the what's, talking about spending the day with Hogan, recording a podcast, drinking beer, and eating sushi. Talked about going to the bar with Flair, drinking beers, listening to stories. Talked about Ron Simmons having a damn moment in the hotel elevator and then sharing beers with everyone. And it seemed like they were ready to go off the air. And then Austin asked how much time they had left. And they just start launching into this other story. What were the specifics of it again?
You didn't like his story about, what's his name, breaking laws? What was it?
Yeah. Gerald Briscoe.
They went to South Africa, were doing something illegal. And I'm thinking, what were they doing illegal? Like, human trafficking? Were they like committing treason? Were they selling weapons to refugees? I mean, what were they doing?
Well, all I know is I hope he recorded a podcast with Briscoe, because I think everybody wants to know what the rest of that story is.
Briscoe's in everything, I'm telling you. Like, if you go back and look at those photos and everything, like, he's randomly in the back. He's in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, like that tour bus photo with Taker and all those guys.
Yeah. But you know what? I was watching this, my wife was like, oh, God. Before Stone Cold talked, I remember when they were all up on the stage and Hogan was talking. I was like, oh, this is uncomfortable. He's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, some of these guys are my favorite wrestlers. You know what I mean? I don't want to see them like this. This sucks. I don't know what it was. And then Austin comes out and everyone's like cheering for him. And he just like cuts a line right through the middle of him. You know, he stares people down as he walks past them. Watch, go back and watch how he like mean mugs RVD as he walked right, his Stone Cold walk where he swaggers and moves his head. It was awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah.
He even though that time, you know, was a minute, it was like, we still got a minute 10 left on the air. He can pull it off somehow.
Yeah.
There was nothing weird about him in anything he said, I thought, except I was, you know, I don't know about you guys. Were you guys like overly thinking? Probably like, I don't know. I was, is he going to do the what's? Is he going to succumb to the what's? Cause he was trying to fight it there for a while. He did a very good job of talking fast and not letting them get their what's in. And he just about dissuaded them. And then he started doing it.
Yeah. He like succumbed to it. He's like, well, this is what they want. Might as well.
Yeah. I don't know how do you guys feel about that? By the way, do you guys feel like when they're doing that, is that disrespectful? Do you think?
Yeah, but he came up with it, though. So, I mean, with him, it's probably as respectful as it gets.
Yeah, I think it's annoying when they do it to current talent when they're cutting a promo.
I hate it. Oh, God, I hated it.
Yeah, but when Austin first started doing it, it was hilarious. But, yeah. Now
and it was loud tonight. Those watts were freaking loud tonight, I thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, there's a difference right there. We always go back, Raj, between Stone Cold and Rock. And like, oh, would they do this to Rock? Would the Rock do this? Or would Stone Cold be booked like this? They're right there. There's a difference between having a minute and change left on a show and still being able to look cool as the coolest guy in the ring, closing the show a minute 10 off the script still, and making it look like a main eventer would, versus today's guys that would shit their pants. Mm.
And Austin, too, with his look and everything, he still looks like he's in great shape. He doesn't look old.
Yeah, he looks like he kicked somebody's ass.
Yeah. I mean, he was, I mean, he looked fantastic. He didn't really say anything when he was out there, and he was more entertaining than anyone on the mic on the show in a long time.
No question, dude. One thing to look for when you see some people, and I noticed this on myself even, maybe it was nerves, but when you haven't been in the ring in a while and a guy goes to take the second turnbuckle and do the gimmick to the crowd and pose or whatever it is that they do, watch if you see that shake second rope shake. And it's nerves in the legs.
Yeah.
When I went back to Impact, dude, that it was shaking like crazy. And I don't know why. I was like, I'm in the best shape. Probably versus before I left, I was like 20 pounds lighter. This doesn't make sense. I was like, I wonder if it's nerves. And then one of the older wrestlers was telling me, no, you're just getting old. And I've been watching ever since. And I was like, Stone Cold doesn't do that. So he is in great shape. Those ropes didn't move when he was standing on them.
Yeah. I was just about to ask, do you think it might, like when you stand on those ropes, does it take a little bit to get used to it? Like, at the gym, if you ever use those TRX cables, if you haven't used them for a while and you're using them, it takes a while to stabilize on them. I don't know if the ropes are kind of the same way.
Yes, and I'm big and goofy, but that probably has something to do with it too. But like I was watching him, I was like, damn, he literally looks in good shape, and he is.
Yeah, he looks like he could take most of the roster. I mean,
we'll go back and watch his entrance, guys. I'm sorry, he's the biggest badass on this on that show. I thought the way he walked out. Yeah, that dude's so over.
And part of it, I just don't think they've built the current roster to go head to head with that. You know, it's like the same thing that happened.
Back, though, don't you think? Like back in his day, all you hear Stone Cold say in his podcast, like, why aren't you saying anything? What are you saying to the writers? Are you challenging them? Sometimes, guess what? You just got to take a chance out there. And when I was there, we couldn't do that. When I did that, you would be fired. Okay.
Yeah.
Day they were so desperate for getting these young stars over. I don't know if they'd be fired as much if they were to hit a home run with taking a risk at something that wasn't scripted and it becomes that home run.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough, man. This is like the same thing that happened at what was it, WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, like where New Day were the hosts. They had that match against the League of Nations, and then Stone Cold Mick, those guys came out and all hit their finishers on all the young guys. Just made them look like nothing. Like they were the stars, and the guys you just watched didn't mean shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But to the point about the new guys and having freedom, you remember that time when Cass beat up the little person, you know, after their segment, and then he got fired.
Wait, who did?
Big Cass. Oh, he had done that.
Okay, when taking your own hands go bad. Yeah.
Now think about that. Could you imagine if Big Cass beat the shit out of Hulk Hogan? Like, oh my God, that's so worth getting fired over. Right. You'd be a legend.
You would be a legend. Yeah. It's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
WWE would have came crawling back to Cass 6 months later.
How come nobody's done that before? Think about it.
Yeah, just be like, screw it. It's my opportunity.
Matt, you need to get invited to the SmackDown reunion on Fox. It's
so rogue.
Yeah, and then just take out The Rock or some shit like that. You know?
I mean, Hogan has no choice but to sell it. I mean, you could do it to Hogan.
You could just be like, new script, brother, you know, and just,
Yeah.
You know?
I was kind of hoping Brock would come out and do another one of those parties over grandpa lines, but... anyway, I thought, you know, back to my original point, this is going to be the highest rated Raw this year, but did it get lapsed fans wanting to tune in again or get new people hooked on the product? I didn't think this show tonight did that. So to me, I think that's a big failure to get all those stars on the show and not put that forward to the product going forward.
Well, these guys, in a more positive light, that they're better. They're stronger, whatever the gimmick is, they're better, right? Yeah. The only way to show that is they got to be beating them or, you know, jabroning them in promos, get the last word in a promo, out-talk somebody, out-wrestle them, beat them, pin them, jump them backstage, whatever. I mean, not too many to choose from.
I bet that...
I mean, they came in and kicked ass. Wait, hang on. They came in and kicked ass. Think about the 24/7 title, for instance.
Yeah.
Think about it. These legends came in and kicked the crap out of this roster.
Yeah.
I mean, what was there, seven? Was it? Did somebody say there was seven?
Seven or eight tonight.
For the 24/7?
But Drake Maverick, actually, I think Drake Maverick got the most airtime tonight of the current roster.
Okay, I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan of the 24/7 segments tonight, but you know, again, back to what we were saying, Ricochet is probably the most impressive as far as flips and stuff go. Athlete on the roster, this would have been a good night to do, even no matter how short it is, have him showcase a couple things to just show what he can do.
Yes.
They were promoting tonight. Do we even need to give tonight a grade? Do we need to give it a final score?
Wait, really quick, this so you think this ratings, like histrionic wise, I'm asking you this, Raj, the ratings tonight will be better than the Monday after WrestleMania's?
Yeah. It'll be better than this Monday, this past WrestleMania's post-Raw. I'm pretty sure. The WrestleMania, the post-Raw WrestleMania this year didn't even crack 3 million for the overall number. It was close. It was like 2.9. But Raw has not cracked 3 million viewers this year, and I'm pretty sure this show will do it.
Man, that's a shame.
It's fallen. I mean, Raw ratings have fallen a lot. The investor call is coming up this Thursday, and there's a variety. There's the top entertainment source in the world. Or at least in the U.S., but they had a big article today about Vince needing to stop making excuses about the declining business and really address it. And so it's out there, like in the mainstream. NPR had a thing on it over the weekend. The business woes are, you know, really starting to get out there in the public domain. Whereas up until now, you've just been hearing about the revenue, which, you know, is inflated with the television deals in Saudi Arabia. And now people are starting to look and see that the popularity has been taking a hit.
They're calling Saudi Arabia stuff. They're getting paid. Huge.
Yeah,
but the stock is down at $69. So it's not at its lowest in the last couple of years, but it's definitely.
It's down what? Like, it's down from 100 from April, that it hit in April. So it's a pretty, what is that, like 30%?
Yeah, it's pretty steep stock wise. So they were promoting tonight Smackville happening this Saturday from Nashville on the WWE Network.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's a SmackDown house show. It's going to have a triple threat for the U.S. title. It's going to have Elias performing. All I keep thinking is Smackville sounds like another way to refer to, like, you know, where the homeless drug addicts live. Not a good name for a special.
I mean, this is basically like they did with, Starrcade last year. It's a house show that they're showing a few matches for to get the streaming numbers. Not the new subscribers, but the minutes watched up pretty much.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a pointless show. But yeah, Kofi against Dolph and
Samoa Joe. Seth Rollins commented on AEW.
Yeah. So first off, with AEW, they teased today that there are big announcements with TNT coming up, which. Most likely that means their television date, you know, their debut date and which night they'll be airing. It's believed that they'll be airing Wednesday night starting October 2nd. That's a big thing there. As for Seth Rollins, let me get his exact quote. So also the TV viewership expectations for the debut show from industry insiders, according to the Wrestling Observer, is that they're expecting 400 to 500,000 viewers. To me, that sounded... What do you think, Matt? That sounds low to me, just because TNA, for their first episode, did like over 800,000. Granted, that was 14 years ago, and the television landscape has changed. And they had weekly TV before that on Fox Sports. But is it 400,000 to 500,000? Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, a little bit low, but close enough.
Yeah. TNT right now, they average 1.3 million in prime time. Obviously, for AEW... I mean, you know, they have time to build those numbers, but you know, TNT is a strong network.
Oh yeah.
As for Rollins, he was asked about AEW. He said, "We're going to knock them dead, just like we do everyone else." The next big thing is it looks like NXT will be going head to head with AEW, or that's a very likely possibility starting in the fall. So NXT would be on FS1, AEW on TNT.
NXT has the stuff. I just don't know if they do right now. What do you guys, what's your opinion on that?
Well, NXT, the one show that they did on USA, they did 800 and something thousand viewers for that one on that WWE week.
Who was on NXT at the time?
Oh man, that was 2017, the December 2017. So who would that have been?
Nakamura?
Probably Nakamura and Joe.
Oh, okay. Well, you had Wicaz and Enzo, maybe. No. Dude, they were over at NXT. Come on.
Yeah, yeah,
but they were out like in 2015 or 2016. They left NXT.
So. Yeah, it's hard to keep track. But yeah, that episode did 841,000 viewers. Obviously, that's on USA, so it's a lot stronger network than FS1 would be. But
yeah. Is NXT going to be live, though?
Well, that's the thing. That's the big question. And it was also in the Observer that they would be using main roster stars on NXT. So I think by doing that, that means it probably is going to be live. I mean, if it's FS1, they want it to be treated like a sport since it's a sports network. They'd probably want it live. And so, I wouldn't be surprised if they moved to 2 hours as well, 2 hours live every week. I mean, if they got paid enough. So if that's the case, then now we're looking at 3 hours live of Raw, 2 hours live of AEW, 2 hours live of NXT, and then 2 hours live of SmackDown. So that's a lot of freaking TV this fall.
Wow. It's just got to get better. I mean, do you think Vince is going to get involved in NXT now and ruin that?
If they get a big money TV deal, I'm sure his fingerprints will be on it. He'll definitely be paying a lot more attention to it, especially if it's opposing AEW head to head, and if AEW is even close to him in the ratings.
Can I just ask a basic question? With the success Hunter had with NXT, okay, what in the hell did I miss? Where, like, Vince didn't just say, "Cool, you've got it." Like, do what you're doing with NXT on Raw and SmackDown. And I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm still going to take the credit, though. You're not going to get credit for this, Hunter. I'm going to get credit for it. Like, why would you not do that?
Because that doesn't seem like the Vince McMahon we hear these stories about. I think he's one of those guys that it has to succeed because he made it succeed, or he feels he made it succeed, not that it was someone else. I think even if he was the only person that knew, if he was the only person in the universe that knew, that would drive him crazy, I think.
Yeah, it's a shame. Because I don't get what I missed there. Because Heyman, Bischoff coming in, like, I don't know how anybody sees it any other way than a smack to the face of Hunter. I don't get that.
I think a lot of people were surprised. I think, yeah, that was the first question I was asking.
I'm not his biggest fan, obviously, as a wrestler. But with, you know, what he's done for NXT, is like, holy crap, like, does love the business. He does want it to move forward. He sees the need for it to move forward, and he's bringing all these guys in here that I've always wanted to see what could they do in WWE, and he's bringing them all in one by one by one by one, and it was exciting.
And that was the only thing I could come up with, is maybe because there's the good chance that NXT will be going to FS1, he wants Triple H in charge of that to, like, you know, be more aggressive with it, to get that more mainstream on a national platform. So, I mean, that maybe that was it. I don't know.
Or do you think, and this sounds horrible, but do you think it's as bad as, well, he's family, he's not going anywhere. So when Heyman and Bischoff, it doesn't work out for them.
It definitely is. I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, take a real big gamble, and if that doesn't work, you can always go back to family.
Yeah. Damn. Now, I thought he was on the path. For sure.
But, you know, so Raj, what have you heard about these reports that Bischoff isn't going to creatively be running SmackDown, but dealing more with the Fox Network side of things?
Bischoff says that none of that is true. He says he's starting this week. This was always supposed to be his official start week. He was just there at WWE Studios last week as kind of an introduction orientation. And, you know, Bischoff's not a big fan of Dave Meltzer, so I think he was kind of calling Dave out. But yeah, really tore into reports that of what his role is, saying that people don't know what he's going to be doing and what's out there is not right. So we'll see.
Crept all over him too. I listen to that. I don't listen to it ever, but again, whatever comes up on my YouTube feed comes up on my YouTube feed. And that came up, the audio clip of them just like burying him.
Bischoff? Burying Dave?
Yeah, burying Bischoff before the announcement was made, going, oh, he's been away from the product for too long. Okay, maybe, but still good, you know. They were going a little, I thought, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I I agree. You can tell there's bad blood there.
Yeah, so they hate him, it felt like. It was like, good Lord. Exciting. Don't ruin this for me, Dave.
CM Punk is going to be at StarCast in Chicago.
Do you see how they're advertised AEW, though, with it? Like, in every clip I've seen of that, there's like a little tiny AEW question mark sign. Does this mean he's going to be part of AEW?
Well, I think those are the fan made video clips.
Yeah. Oh, my YouTube today too.
Yeah, because Conrad Thompson goes out of his way to talk about how StarCast is not affiliated with AEW, even though they're clearly friends. I mean, it always takes place on AEW weekend.
Seems like a cool event to go to. Seems like an awesome event to go to. I wasn't invited.
Do you want an introduction, Matt? I know some people there.
By you guys. Didn't you guys have a show there?
Oh, we did. Yeah, but no, you could go on your own, dude. Like we did a little panel for the podcast, but you could legit go and sign and take photos. Just
show up and trip and slip on a banana. Be like, oh, hey, I'm on the Wrestling Inc. podcast here at...
I mean, you want a media badge, Raj can get you on the list, you know, if you want to go as media, but I think you should go as Matt freaking Morgan.
Yeah, it's a meet and greet.
What's that?
Do our show, to do this show.
Raj isn't going to Chicago, unfortunately. I am.
Well, they're not going to be doing the podcast row this time.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But
why not? It was a good idea.
It was at two different hotels. Like, there were some logistical issues in Vegas that I think made it difficult to get to. Like, some of the panels were in one hotel. The other was in a hotel that was further away. It was just kind of weird. I think one hotel is going to serve it better.
Yeah, it was great wrestling all weekend long. That's for sure. You get to see, you know.
Well, we should definitely talk about doing a live podcast in Mania. Florida. Yeah, during Mania, because they're going to be in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to do that. That'd be cool.
I think that makes a world of sense. Yeah, so CM Punk is going to be there. He's doing a panel where he's talking, and he's also doing meet and greets.
Yeah, a one-on-one interview and the meet and greets. And yeah, he said he does these once a year. A lot of people speculating if he's going to be at All Out now. I think if he's doing StarCast, he probably wouldn't. He's probably not doing All Out, because I think you'd want that big surprise. If it's going to be a big surprise, you wouldn't want to be announced for StarCast. You know what I mean?
What does it take to make him go to AEW? Like, they've got to be throwing tons of money his way.
Well, I think even if they did get him, I would hold off on using him until the TV debut. Because, like with Moxley, right? It's already been 2 months, and the shine, I'm not saying.
No, you're right. You're right. We were saying that because he is still hot. He's still red hot. But you're right. The bloom's a little bit, you know.
But he's been everywhere. He's in Japan. He's doing indies in Vegas. Yeah.
But just in general, with today's, with the internet society and everything, like Fight for the Fallen seems like that was months ago. That was like a week and a half. Things just get, you know, kind of old quick. And so Punk making that appearance would have a gigantic effect if he did it at All Out. But it kind of wear out by the time they got on TV. Whereas if they save that for that debut episode, I think that you'd get the maximum impact there. But I don't know. Punk is one of those things. I was on Ryback's podcast again this week, and we were talking about that. And he was saying that regardless of, you know, how much money you get thrown at you, if you just don't feel like doing it and your heart's not into it, you know, why do you do it? And because the thought is always the best way Punk could get at Vince McMahon for, you know, Punk feels that Vince, you know, bankrolled that lawsuit by Dr. Amen against him. The best way you could get at Vince would be to be a part of AEW and really help that promotion out. Yeah. But if your heart's not into it and you really don't like wrestling at all anymore, then you're just going to wear yourself out and not, you know, hurt the product as well.
Enough time, too, though. I mean, he's been away long enough to like, he loved pro wrestling. That's all I ever heard. You know what I mean? Like, super wrestling nerd and stuff, right? So, like, you would think it's been a lot of time for him to, like, all right, I really miss this.
Yeah.
Especially if I can call my own shots.
Especially since his other career is not, you know, his UFC career is not, didn't take fire. So the one area where he could make the most impact is pro wrestling.
Yes.
I think he'll be in AEW by the end of the year. That's just my personal opinion.
Cool. I hope so.
I could see him maybe transition to announcing.
Oh, he'd be a good announcer, but you mean
for AEW? I think him and JR would be better than what's his face? Better than either of them, actually.
I would worry, you guys, yeah, that the announcing would be so good at Punk taking shots at Jim Ross. Come on, it'd be hilarious. That it might be more entertaining than some of the things going on in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just also think with Punk, it just would feel like a waste to have him at the commentary booth instead of in
what
the
he's ring. Doing now is a waste. Him in UFC is a complete waste.
Okay, yeah, we'll take a half a step. I know what you're saying, but I'd much rather have him as a wrestler. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's all people would be asking. It's like, when's he going to get in the ring? When's he going to get in the ring?
And I just want to see people then comparing CM Punk as following in Corey Graves' footsteps, which is an ironic twist of fate.
that is.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. StarCast is just a little over a month away. All Out is happening that weekend. We'll have complete coverage here on Wrestling Inc. Anything else we didn't hit?
No. SmackDown tomorrow night. Shawn Michaels will be on again doing commentary. And that's... They announced a couple other things for the show. I guess Kofi Kingston's picking his opponent for SummerSlam. Is that what they said? Which is...
Yeah.
Randy Orton.
It's going to be Randy Orton, but it's just stupid that they have the champions pick their opponents. Have a match. Do something. Set up an angle.
Earn it. It's supposed to be stakes. People get on a winning streak. People win X amount of matches. They beat X amount of higher-up talents. They get next in line. Like, what happened to all that?
Right.
Nope. He's going to be out tomorrow night with pancakes to pick his opponent. It's going to be awesome. We'll be here to cover it live on the Wrestling Inc. podcast immediately when SmackDown goes off the air. Matt Morgan, anything to plug before we take it home? Matt is good. @BP Matt Morgan, BP Matt Morgan on Twitter and Instagram. Raj, what's coming up on the website?
A ton of interviews again. I'm forgetting who right now. It's been such a crazy day. But yes, you just keep checking out the site.
I'm Glenn Rubenstein. You can find me on Twitter @GlennRubenstein, where I greatly appreciate a follow, where I live tweet along with WWE programming. And we will catch you back here tomorrow night to talk about SmackDown Live, the first of the Eric Bischoff era. We'll catch you here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.